Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. I had a real nice pastory looking shirt on this morning, and I was so uncomfortable I took it off and I put on one that I felt better in. That's the way I roll. It's been kind of a crazy week a little bit. I've had a bunch of thoughts in my head and different ideas of what I was going through that I wanted to share today, but it's also spring break week, and my wife and kids have been home all week. That doesn't leave you a lot of quiet time, doesn't leave you a lot of study time. So I've been kind of bouncing around, and to be honest with you, I was still putting thought to notepad here this morning to get this all into place. So hopefully it's kind of a jumbled mess, and I got a bunch in here, but I'm hoping to get it out to you. But I want to do something different today, starting out. Do me a favor. Bible says to come humbly before him. Not to come lightly, but that we'd receive the word with meekness, that we'd pray and we'd ask that the word would just get planted in us. So I'm going to ask everyone who can stand, if you can stand, to stand. If you can't, sit and pray as well, because God understands. But I just want to pray. Lord, as we approach the word today, Lord, we come to you humbly, Lord God. We just lift up to you, Lord. We ask that you speak to us, Lord God, that you just pierce our hearts with your word, Lord God, that it'll go forth, plant a seed, Lord God, and it'll just be fertile and grow, Lord. I ask that you come and cleanse us, Lord God, and I ask that you bring freedom to our lives, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I like it. I wanted to try that today to see what I'd get. All God's people said amen. Kind of crazy because I probably don't even really have to preach a lot of this because most of what I want to say got said already today. It's kind of crazy between the songs that we sang, a lot of the message was in there, a lot of what Paul was saying, a lot of even what Ian was saying. So it's just good confirmation that I'm probably on the right track here today. A while ago, I preached a message, and it was quite a while ago because I had a hard time finding the notes about why are you so fearful? Anybody remember that? Was anyone here for that? The disciples were in the boat, and the storm came, and the waves came, and they were so fearful. I'm not going to re-preach that one, but I want to recap it. I want to talk a little bit about it, because I think it's an important subject, and it's something that I'm going to expand on to today a little bit. Today, I want to talk more about peace than why we're so afraid, but the two kind of go together. Have we had kind of a topic of peace here today, or a theme of peace? I've heard it over and over this morning already. I was a little afraid Paul was going to start preaching my message in the warm-up. But in that, why are you so fearful? The disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and they're in the middle of a storm. And it wasn't just any storm. It was a big storm, a big storm of all storms, superstorm, ones like they had never experienced before. Jesus was up on front of the boat on the cushion asleep. Disciples were all afraid, and they're waking him up, and he's like, why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? What he was challenging them is, we got choices, right? We can choose to live in that storm. We can choose to live in fear in the middle of that storm, or we can choose to live with Jesus above that storm. Rise above it. Rise above that fear. So at the moment, the disciples, in their discouragement and they're afraid, they chose fear. They chose to live in fear. What did Jesus do? He showed them peace. He wasn't afraid. He was asleep on a cushion. I like that part of the Bible where it says that. He was asleep, not just in the boat, but he was asleep on a cushion. I think it's an important subject. How many people deal with fear in their life? Deal with time of uncertainty? We need to choose to live above that storm. My notes from the last time I preached this, I said we got three things happen when we choose to live in the storm. I'm not going to go deep into all this, but I'm just going to recap real quick. Number one, our inheritance is diminished. We have an inheritance of peace from God. He already paid for that. We have it. We choose to live in that storm. We're taking that away. We're giving it away. Second one I had on there is our authority is neutralized. I don't want to go too far into that one because that's kind of a whole message in itself. I'm going to save that one for another day. Future, when I'm digging through these notes looking for that one, we're going to go on that one a different day. And third, last one I had on there is your witness is compromised. authority is taken away from you, your witness is compromised, your inheritance is taken away. The good news, though, what can we do? We can choose to live with peace, choose to rise above it. Peace is our inheritance. It's already been paid. It's already been bought. So peace is where I'm going after today. That's my topic. I put one a different slide up there. Why don't you put that first slide up, Rocky, after the... We talked about this a bunch, too. Lies of the devil. We get peace from lies of the devil. Two don't go hand in hand, do they? So peace is what I'm after today. I want to see our church claim it, our believers claim it 100%. As believers, we got a mandate to do that. That's what the Bible has said. We're to claim that inheritance that he's already bought, he's already paid for, to see us step fully into that. Each and every one of us. I want to see each and every person step 100% fully into that peace that's available. You've seen it. I want to say I'm not that old because I am getting really old now all of a sudden, but we've grown up in the church, and we've watched mom and dad in the church since I was little. I've been following around and living in churches my whole life. One thing that we've seen, and it drives me nuts, and I won't lie, it drives me mad, is when we see people not living 100% in that peace. When they're choosing just to accept something else or not to walk fully in that. Because we're children of God. We're children of His. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we choose not to step into that peace. It drives me nuts. So I'm after that today. We're going to claim that 100% today. Each and every one of us. And if I can't claim it, you're going to help me claim it, and I'm going to help you claim it, and you're going to help that person next to you claim it. Because coming to church, it's as much as about helping the other person next to you as it is to helping yourself. Amen? If you want to know what Jesus purchased for you, where can we go? Isaiah 53. I brought my big Bible today. Because I was in it this morning, Isaiah 53. If you're confused about what is coming your way or what's already been bought and paid for you, go to Isaiah 53. Talk about inheritance. A lot of times you got to wait for someone to die. Then you go to the court and the lawyer opens the will and you're waiting to see what it is. We don't need to do that. It's right here. It's spelled out. We don't have to wait to claim it. It's already been bought. It's paid for. You got that one up there? He was pierced through for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Different versions will say the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Why won't you claim that? It's right there written. You need it more clear. It's right there. Just claim it. Why wouldn't you want that? God's calling us to fight for that. Not to settle for less. Not to say, oh yeah, it's okay. Maybe that's for you. That's not for me. But at other times, people will say, well, that's easy for you. You've been in the church your whole life. That's easy for you to say. Just walk in peace. Just walk in peace, Jerry. It's not that. Just claim it. I had a lot of people to say that before. Well, it's easy for you. It's easy for you to. I struggle as much as the next guy. I struggle with everything as much, fear, worry, doubt sometimes. We got to learn to claim that. We got to walk in it. Different pastor we've worked with for years, Pastor Ron Carey. He had a saying, put your what on? Put on your big boy pants. Put on your big boy pants and get it done. So I used this example before, And I told my daughter I was going to use it today, and she was telling me not to, but I'm going there again. Anyone ever go to a restaurant? We were just at McDonald's the other day. We took a last-minute road trip to Missouri to buy a truck for my daughter. She's been looking for months. Everything up here is all rusty, and all of a sudden one good one came, and it was like, we're going. And I'm like, but I'm supposed to work on my message today. Instead, we ended up in Missouri. So anyway, long story. We're at McDonald's, and we hit the kiosk thing because their kids are modern, and they do that instead of going to the teller, and they order some stuff up. And then they bring our stuff back out, and Avery had gotten a mango smoothie. And she tastes it and curls up her nose, then hands it to Sarah, and Sarah tastes it, and she does the same thing. She's like, there's something wrong with this. Then I taste it, and at first I said, yeah, that's okay. And then a second later, I'm like, no, that's not okay. My taste buds were a little bit slower. So I told her to go up front and tell them, it's no good. Get another one. And she wasn't going to do it. She's too shy, too afraid, too doesn't want to put them out. She's like, uh-uh. I'm like, just walk up there and tell them, we already paid for this mango smoothie. It's owed to us. We need to get it. And she wasn't, no. And then she tries to tell Ethan to do it. Ethan, can you go do it? Ethan, he still didn't even really do it. I was busy eating, but I'm not going to let it get away. Then this lady comes on, how's your meal? I'm like, this stinks. We need a new one. She'd have probably just sat there and not claimed it, gone without her mango smoothie. And I'm like, no, I'm not willing to accept that. We paid for it. I want it. I think it was a $2 mango smoothie, too. But $2, we already paid. I want it. And the lady was super nice. She ran back, came back, and she said, it's not working. I can't make one. Do you want something else? And she brought her a strawberry smoothie that was bigger because the other one didn't work. My point is, we need to be that in our life with peace. It's already been paid for. Already been bought, it's already been paid for. So I'm going to vow to be that guy in your guys' life when I see you not living in peace or not walking in peace or living in doubt or living in worry. I'm going to be there to help you claim it. This was paid for. Some people say, oh, it's not a big deal. My daughter Avery was, that's okay, it's not a big deal. I'm like, no, it is a big deal. I've heard other people say, well, it's just my lot in life. It's the cards I was dealt. I'll learn to live with it. No, that is not. It's not acceptable. I'm going to be that guy making a big scene. I'm going to go up front with my receipt. Actually, I brought a prop. I'm going to bring my receipt. This is a receipt from Wednesday's dinner, by the way. It is paid for 100% in full. It is on the receipt, and I want it. You know, I'm okay. People are struggling or trying to get there. I understand that. But when you accept the fact and just choose to live there, that's not what I'm okay with. Because healing is our inheritance. Freedom is our inheritance. Peace is our inheritance. It's been bought. He's paid the price. When they're in the storm, the disciples were living in the storm, Jesus wasn't condemning them for being afraid. He wasn't saying, oh, you guys are. He was just telling them, don't stay there. Choose to rise above. You can't accept it and live there. So you need to rise above that. So I'm going to get to a couple different areas here. That was kind of my recap. Now I'm on to the new material. Romans. There's a simple little phrase in Romans. The end of Romans 15, Paul makes just a small little statement that if you're just reading and you're not thinking too much about it or not thinking in context, you might just pass right on over it. Romans 16 is kind of Paul's sign-off where he's saying goodbye, kind of saying he's wrapping everything up. It's the end of his letters. But right in Romans 15, before 16, the very last phrase, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now, we could pass right over that really quick. Got a peace. Paul's, he's saying goodbye. Peace out. Just take it real quick. But it's so much more than that. That one little chunk there, the God of peace. It's not the way he was saying it. It wasn't just a quick little, all right, I'm checking out. But he said, the God of peace be with you. So to understand context a little bit there, where I'm going at, we like analogies. Myself, Seth, we use them quite a bit. But I'm just going to elaborate a little bit on this. Rome at the time was a place that had many, many gods. They worshipped all kinds of gods. We've seen it in India, living in India. 330 million different gods they have. Jesus is one of them. But they had that many gods. And Rome was a culture that they had that. And they adopted a lot of the Greek mythology gods, and we know a lot of that, that's grafted into the culture. And they worshipped a lot of those gods. So Rome was a place where they'd understand that phrase, God of peace, would mean a little bit different, or they'd understand it. We've heard a lot of the different gods, and a lot of them would have descriptors. And I know even in India, it's the same way. The God of fertility, if you're not having to be able to have a baby, then you go make a sacrifice to this God, and those type of things. You'd go around, what I need is where I'm going to go worship. I'm just going to list a few of them because I don't even like talking about them in church. But just to give a reference, Greek mythology, Minerva, the goddess of craft and wisdom. Mercury was called the god of trade. I don't even remember the name of one, but I remember reading it. It was the god of grapes and wine production. How random. How random. I'm the god of grapes. Wine was a big thing back then, I guess. The god of mango smoothies. Mars is the god of war. Mars is kind of an important one because they also say Mars, the god of war, was also the father of Romulus and Remus, and so they say was the founders of Rome. Whatever. We know the real story, right? But that's the context in what Paul is saying. May the God of peace be with you. He's not saying the God of craft and the God of grapes. He's using it as the God of peace. He's saying all those, I like this one, the little g gods, the non-capital G, the small g gods, they got all these things. They can call themselves what they want, but they are not the God of peace. There is only one true God, one big G God, and he's the God of peace. Amen? So we see it throughout Paul's letters, all over. It's referring to him to this God of peace. I mean, it's in multiple different places. We go down to Romans 16, he takes it another step further. He's not just saying he's the God of peace. Go ahead and put that next one up, 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's a profound statement there. The God of grapes ain't going to crush Satan under your feet. The God of war isn't going to crush Satan underneath your feet. That is a profound statement. The one true God, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. So I'm here and there. It's God. God alone is where I'm going to find peace. Anyone agree with that? Peace is key to victory, and our key to victory is through peace. And our key to peace through is God. We're not going to find peace. We're not going to find victory out on our own. God's the giver of peace. He's the restorer of peace. He's the sustainer of peace. He's the very one that gives us peace. He restores it back to you. And he also sustains it. Any seen anything that's unsustainable? It's not a good thing. It might last for a little while, but it ain't gonna last forever. It's not sustainable. God sustains peace. He's the sustainer of peace. You can search the world over and over and over and over and over. You're not going to find it. We've seen it time and time again. You're not going to find peace and money. You look at the richest people in the world, and they're some of the most unhappy people there is. Not going to find peace in possessions and what I have. Not going to find health nuts that work out all the time and I'm in the best shape of my life. You're not going to find peace by doing that. So my message today, it's simple. It's super simple. It's not no in-depth, great big thing. It's not some profound, aha, light bulb goes on moment. It's a simple message. We've all heard it. We all know it. But I want to see you walk in it 100%, fully in every area of our life. The enemy would like to defeat us because they don't want you walking in peace. He doesn't want you walking in peace. He wants you walking in the middle of that storm, upset, fearful, afraid. As believers, the reality is we have to come to a point where we believe this, one thing, God and God alone is where we're going to find peace. We're not going to find it anywhere else. The world should look at us as believers and see it in us. There shouldn't be any doubt. There shouldn't be any confusion. There shouldn't be, I think he's got his act together. So they should see, I want what they have because they obviously have something that's greater than what I have. There shouldn't be any doubt. There should be clarity. Rome was confused. They didn't know where to go, what God to pray to, what God to sacrifice to, what God to do what to. So they could do it to a whole bunch of them. There's one true God. So I can hear some people saying, well, I don't worship those gods. I'm not into Greek mythology. I don't worship Minerva or the god of grapes. I don't like wine anyway. Don't drink. I don't worship those gods. But I'm going to go somewhere here that you might get where I'm going here. What do we serve? The God of entertainment? Need to be entertained? We look for entertainment for peace. We might serve the God of money. I just need a little bit more money, and then I'm going to be happy. I'll give some to the church, just a little more money. That's the God of money. How about the God of alcohol, the God of drugs? Take the edge off, ease my pain. You're not going to find peace there. How about the God of our phone? Living in our phone in a made-up world trying to get friends and likes. You're not going to find peace there. We need this to get inside. There's one place and one place only I'm going to find peace. We can search over and over and over until we accept it. What is our inheritance? What's written in the book of life? Jumping around in my notes. My notes are a big mess. A lot of times what's in here is a big mess too, but I'm working on it. So I'm going to take a total jump. We talked about liking analogies. I'm going to talk about tigers for a little bit. I like tigers. It's kind of random. It's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, where are we going here? But I'm hoping to give you just a little something that someday comes back and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, remember that story Corey told about tigers? That's where I'm after today. In the world, there's 8 subspecies of tigers. 3 of them have been extinct since the 40s. I kind of like this comes to my mind because in India, we're at where there are tigers. We've been there. We've been close by to where they're at. I can't really say that I've seen them because I think I slept through most of it, but we were in villages sleeping outside on the ground when just a few feet away, tigers came in and jumped into a hut, took 2 goats and jumped back out and sat there and ate them. And we as little kids were sleeping on the ground out in the middle of nowhere doing meetings and stuff in a village. So anyway, Bengal tigers. Depending on where you read, there's about 2,500 left in the world in the wild. In India, Nepal. The top half of India, Nepal. That's the only place you're going to find tigers. You might find one in a zoo or something, but we're not going to count them. We're talking tigers in the wild. So if I'm a tiger nut and I want to find a tiger to take a picture of or video of, or I can start searching right here and go outside with my camera and start filming and I could search the whole country here. I could search for years and years and years and years. And then I could move down to South America because it's warmer down there. There might be tigers down there, right? So I moved down to South America. Is he watching us? Yeah, he's watching us. And I can search over and over and over. And I can think, well, maybe I haven't found one. I've searched my entire life. I haven't found one. I'm going to go to Africa because there's a lot of wild animals there. And I can search all of Africa. I'm still not going to find a Bengal tiger because I'm not searching in the right place. I'm not going to find one. I can devote my entire life and a whole lot of money, but I am not, unless I am searching in the right place, and it's a small little chunk of the world that's left, where I'm going to find one of them. As believers, we need to understand that. I can search the entire world, but until I'm looking to Jesus, I am not going to find peace. You can spend an entire lifetime looking, but if you ain't looking in the right place, you're not going to find it. You might find some temporary satisfaction or some temporary, yeah, I'm having some fun. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find peace that'll sustain you through a storm, peace that'll let you rise above it. The world is longing for peace. Peace in their presence or in their spirit. Peace down in their core. Peace in their house. And the world's longing for it. What's the world full of, though? Confusion, chaos. The world is confused right now. Until the world turns back to Jesus, we're not going to have any peace. We as believers can claim it, amen? So if we're unclear about this as believers, we're going to search the world over. We're going to be lost. Jesus said, you can go to the world, what are you going to find? Troubles and tribulation. Actually, put that verse up. John 16, next one. You can go to the world. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. The God of peace, my God, the big G God, he's overcome the world. You know, when Jesus came to earth, came down, and all he did was reinforce that. What did he come as? What did they call him? Prince of Peace? Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to reinforce that God is the God of peace. Came to reveal the truth about God the Father. Jesus came to reveal the truth about God the Father. People at the time were confused, all the gods and all the... They didn't know. Jesus came to reveal to us the heart of the Father. You can look at Jesus, the way he lived, the way he taught, and everything he did is what you can represent of the Father. The disciples said to him, they want to see the Father. Jesus told them what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the nature, the character of God the Father, look to Jesus. Look at the way he lived his life, the way he walked, the way he taught. And you'll see the heart of the Father. So I got on my notes here, truth leads to freedom. The Bible says those that know the truth are free. I think I even got a verse there, right? Yep. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? What are you going to be free from? I don't know. It's free. Free food, free smoothies, free what? The truth will make you free. So if I know the truth and the truth makes me free, what do lies do? Lies are going to disconnect me, going to take me away. It's going to lead me to bondage. So that's how Satan works. Tells us little lies, little things in our life. What he's trying to do is get you out of peace. He's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to take your inheritance. Trying to get you to a place of worry and a place of fear. Wants to pull you away. little by little, little lie by little lie, to all of a sudden, we're drawn away. So I got written here, devil usually lies to us in two areas. How I see the Father, lying to me so he changes the way I see the Father. Or lying to me, how I perceive how the Father sees me. Usually we look at lies, we can kind of bring a lot of that back to how I see the Father and how I perceive the Father sees me. Lies bring us to a place of fear, place of disconnect, hopelessness. That's a big word. It's not a place I want to be, huh? Lies disconnect us. What happens when we disconnect? We pull away. We draw away, we draw distant. When I don't see the Father correctly, I don't move closer to him. If I see someone that I think is mad at me, I'm not going to draw close to him. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. The truth will set you free from discouragement, fear, doubt, anger, frustration, confusion. But you have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you might be stuck believing in lies. Anybody like being lied to? Anyone ever catch someone in a lie? Maybe your kid lies right to your face when they're just a little kid. Did you eat those grapes? No. And you know, it makes you mad. Someone at work lies to you and you catch them in a... I don't like being lied to. So why do we let the devil lie to us? We got to knock that bugger off. Can't let him get away with that. I've heard some people say, God's distant. Oh, I'm just not hearing God. He's not talking to me. God's cold. He won't protect me, so I got to protect myself. I'm better doing it myself. I just take care of myself. That's what I'm good at. He doesn't care about my needs. I can't trust him to care about me because he doesn't care about my needs. And I'm not saying we're all saying this, but other people, non-believers, even believers, we might not admit it, but there might be times we've thought this. Long as you got your act together, God's interested. God's mad at me at best, disappointed. How about this one? In the world now, we talk about the deep, deep darkness. God's lost control. As a believer, I don't think anyone's going to ever say that out loud. You might think it in your head a little bit, though. The world is messed up. God's out of lost control. We might not say it out loud, but we might, the way we live our lives, portray that. I'm telling you, God hasn't lost control. And I start believing some stuff like that about God, it's going to draw me away. Satan lies to me. His goal is to pull me away. This is the whole story of the prodigal son. He takes off. Things don't go good. What happens? Gets in a bigger mess, a bigger mess, a bigger mess, a bigger mess. The further away he gets, the bigger the mess gets. Till all of a sudden the mess is so big that something has to break, and he turns and he decides to come back. And what happens when he comes back? Closer he gets back, the better things get. He gets back. Father welcomes him in. He doesn't care what he did, what happened. Father welcomes him back. That's why the truth is so important. What do we believe? You going to walk in peace? You going to walk in truth? Or are we going to choose to live in fear, accept the lies of the devil? We live in the fear. Our inheritance is stolen. Isaiah 53. It's been purchased. It's simple. It's simple. So how do I live in not in fear? How do I live in peace? A couple simple things here. I got a word that nobody really likes a whole lot. Repent. Church gets real quiet. People don't like to hear that. Repent, that sounds like I got to admit I was wrong and I got to do something. I don't want to repent. I don't like Repenting is hard. Repenting is simple. What does repent mean? Change of direction. Change of the way you think. It's a change of my mindset. Saying, I did wrong. I don't like it. I don't want it. I repent. And now I'm going to go in this new direction. It's not that hard. I've been looking for peace in the world. I've been looking to peace for peace in drugs and alcohol and worldly. I need to repent from that. Repent and say, God, I repent. I need your peace. I want it. I want that receipt that you've bought and paid for. We need to look at the Father for who he is. Loving and caring Father. I got my notes. I can't compare God to anyone on the world, anyone here. I know some people are, you might have had a mean father growing up or a bad father that was distant. He's not that father. There's no comparing. You might have had a husband or a wife that left you, a spouse that wasn't good to you, a coworker that wasn't. We can't compare that person to God. There is no comparing. We're going to read it coming up here in a verse that I got, but the Bible says that if you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? We all know that verse. It compares earthly fathers, as good as they can be, when compared to the heavenly father, compares them that they're evil. Compared to God, an earthly father is evil. You cannot compare to God. God is better than all. It's one simple thing. We need to accept that fact. We got to know the Father for who he is. We find ourselves in a place of fear, hopelessness. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. I think what we need to do, look up. Stop and look up. How'd I get here? How did I get to this place? How did I end up like the prodigal son way in this mess that's just a terrible mess? Stop, pause, look up. Ask yourself, God, why am I here? What happened? Got another little analogy. Just recently, this winter, we were at a basketball game, and we're leaving, and there's all kinds of kids there. And everyone's had this happen before. And you go to leave, and there's all of a sudden a little kid on your leg. And it ain't your kid, but they're coming with you. And then all of a sudden, this kid looked up, and he's like, Mommy. This kid is lost. He's in a big arena or a basketball court, and there's people all over, and there is no mom around. Had his head down, and he's walking along, and he just latched on to something, latched on to a lie, and all of a sudden, he's following it. And you get to a point where all of a sudden, you look up, you realize, oh, no, I've made a mistake. Something here is wrong. This ain't my dad. This guy looks old like a dad, but he ain't my dad. We've all been there. We get to a place where we are lost, hopelessness, despair. Just stop. Look up. Look to the Father. Reset. Restart. Stop believing those lies. Same thing with our phones. Anybody ever see anyone on their phone? They're walking along. Next thing you know, whoom, walk into a sign or a wall. It happens all the time. Stop and look up. I don't know how I got here, but I wasn't following my father because my father wouldn't lead me here. He wouldn't let me come to this place. He's going to help me walk around it. He's going to help me to rise above it. I thought I was following my dad, but apparently I wasn't. So the Bible talks about minds being renewed, right? We all know that verse, renewing of the minds. It says that in a few places. It also talks about the word washing us. The word comes, washes us, takes all things that are lies, all that stuff that we might believe in, and it cleanses it. It replaces it with something else. Replaces it with the word, with peace. So we agree, the word washes us, cleanses us, makes us new. So I grabbed just 7 verses really fast here. I'm going to go through them really quick. And I didn't do a big, deep study. I just grabbed some that were in my head, and then I Googled some other ones. But 7 verses out of the whole Bible. There's a lot of verses in there. I'm just going to hit you with 7. First one, Matthew 7, 9 through 11. This is the one we talked about a little bit. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, calling an earthly father evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give? And there's some key words here. To those who what? Ask him. Can I just go through life and not ask and just expect it? No. Here's the God that I serve, and that's his nature. He wants to give you good gifts. That God, is that a distant God from what we read there? Is he a distant God that doesn't care? Doesn't worry about your thoughts, doesn't worry about your health, doesn't worry about anything? That's not a distant God. Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not just calling those that got their act together. Oh, God's mad at me at best, disappointed. Come to me, all who are weary. He's saying anybody. You're heavy laden. You got a lot of baggage. You're burdened down. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is light. How do we get a God don't care about me out of that? You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him. Call upon him in truth. Matthew 6:8. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I prayed, but I never get what I ask for. He knows what you need before you ask him. He knows what you need before you even come to him. Knows the numbers of hair on your head. He knows everything. He's a good, good father. We got that song. I don't think we do that one, do we? Good, good father. It's a popular song, though. I don't know where the lies come that he's distant. You ever have anybody at work that talks a lot? Sometimes you don't want to hear the whole story. They tell stories in detail, and it's like, this is going to be 20 minutes. I'll never get back. That's not God our Father. He wants to know. He already knows, but he wants to be with you. He wants to hear you talk. He wants to hear you pray. Sometimes I might want to hear a few minutes of someone at work, but I don't want to hear the whole half-hour dissertation of whatever. That's not our Father. Come to me and ask. My Father isn't harsh. He's gentle, kind. Psalms 37. I have been young, and now I am old. Amen. I used to be young, but now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. old man, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God's not going to forsake you. That's who our Father is. It's a provider, protector. Hebrews 13. I would skip the first little chunk there, but I will never, my Bible, this version says, desert you. Most of us know it as, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. For those that think God might have lost control, might have got kicked off the throne, can the devil kick the God off the throne? Ain't never going to happen. Ain't never going to happen. Psalms 29:10. I threw this one in just for those naysayers. The Lord, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Back then at the king, at the biggest, worst catastrophe in the world, the time of the flood, God was king. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. He's still there. He's still on the throne. He hasn't been dethroned, and he never will be. He was the king at the flood, and he is the king now. And then we go on to the very next verse. What's the next one say? The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen? I want to see us claim that. 100%. Don't follow a lie. Look up. You're not my Father. I must have made a wrong turn. Repent and go back to the Father, back to truth. It's a simple, simple, simple message. I said it's not, it's not profound, it's not an aha moment, but it's simple. But I believe there's so many of us that aren't walking in it, that aren't accepting it 100%. And I'm not okay with that. Why don't you go ahead and... I kind of felt led to close with a song. I'm not done talking yet, but I'm really close. I carry a backpack with me everywhere I go, whether it's church or work, or I work at the fire department and I can go to work and sometimes I might not be back for a week. You never know. I work for another rescue company and we go all over. I carry a backpack and it's got change of clothes and toiletries and computers and iPads and phone chargers. It has everything I need. I could take my backpack and take off for a week and I'm going to make it just fine. I might be a little smelly at the end because I only got one change of clothes in there, but I'm going to make it. But that backpack's full. I've heard my wife say many times, what all is in there? What do you got in there? What do you need? I got what I need in there. I crammed it in there. But it's usually so full that I can't get another thing in it. Or anyone ever travel with your carry-on and you go and you don't bring your big check-in bag because that's for chumps? Cram everything you can into that carry-on bag, and you're standing on it, and you're jumping on it, and they usually don't weigh carry-ons, so it can be heavy. We know we traveled the world. I think that's what we need to do with our lives. Take those scriptures. That was just seven that I brought up. Cram scriptures in here. Cram them into your life. We cram all those in, and there's not room for a lie. Devil could feed you some lies. I got no room. Just bounces right off. So that's my challenge. Dig into the Word. Dig into those scriptures and plant them. Plant them in your backpack so that you are so full. There is no room. Claim that peace. Don't let the devil steal your inheritance. Don't accept that's my lot in life and that's my cards I was dealt. This is where I am. That's not true. My Father is a good, good Father. Every song we sang today had the same message. Everything they prayed about, everything we talked about, all had the same message. Lies and peace. And I felt led to close with this song. And if you want to come up, the altar is always open. The stage is always open. The cross is always open. I guarantee you, if you spend some time, you won't regret it. So as we close today, feel free. Don't like to push anybody. You don't have to. But like I said, I guarantee you won't regret it. Let's just take a moment. Spend some time in surrender. Some time looking up. Sure, we'll have some people. If someone wants prayer, come on up for prayer. Don't go away empty. Amen. Get some people up that would like to pray. We've got plenty of prayer warriors here. Feel free to come on up, men and women alike. If you want a prayer, just make your way on up. Spend some time in surrender. Thank you.
to do whatever you want to.
We just thank you for your Father, Lord, and the gift that you gave, Lord. We just thank you for that price that you paid. The price you paid for our peace, Lord God. The price you paid for our healing. We just accept that, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you just help us to draw close to you, Lord God. Not to believe any of those lies, Lord, but just to draw close to you. Walk into that inheritance, Lord God, of peace, Lord. Walk in that inheritance of healing, Lord. I just thank you for everything you've done in the lives, Lord God, here, Lord. I just thank you for everything that you're going to continue to do in this church, in this congregation of believers, Lord God. I just give you all the thanks and praise, glory and honor that's due in this place today, Lord God. Just lift up our voices, Lord. We lift up our hands to you, Lord God. We lift our heads. Lord God, to you, Lord, because you are a good, good Father, Lord. So thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. You're free to stay as long as you want. You're free to go. Amen.
Amen.
Reminder, the baby shower that got canceled last week because of the snowstorm will be next week. So next Sunday, following church service, we'll have the baby shower for Carol and Dick.